Three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning. And what was in those ships?
Whoa, Nelly. It won't be long now. We're down to days, nay, hours until the celebration. All the effort, all the decorating, the preparing, finally will culminate, and we will gather and enjoy the moment. But we also know that there are many out there, maybe many of you listening, and maybe more than ever, and it's not a celebration, or at least it won't be. It'll be more just a deepened isolation, something that other people do, kind of the wake me up when December ends vibe. We know. And that's why we've spent our Advent thinking about this peace that he promises, peace on earth. What does he mean? What is it like? How do you get there? What do you do if you've lost it? Before we take our rest, whatever form it might take, we wanted to put a bow on this. And we wanted to do so like we have each week by telling a story. This one is from our neck of the woods, close to home. A friend told us this story recently about himself. Names have been withheld to protect the reticent. He's in what we'll call a service vocation. He's there to help. And on many days before he attends to the need they've come to him for, he asks if he can pray for them. Some are pleasantly surprised and gladly take him up on the offer. Others maybe do so only after a little bit of shock, and others politely decline. He does this with gentleness and respect. He knows they've come to him for a particular purpose other than prayer, so he doesn't force it. And if he's reading the room right, he will sometimes ask another question on the heels of the first. He'll ask, "Are you a person of faith?" Doesn't ask which, if any. He just asks just to know. So one day, he goes through this pattern. He asks if he can pray. He asks if they're a person of faith. And this person responded, not unpleasantly, but politely, "No." And our friend responded with an unpremeditated inquiry. "Then where do you place your anchor?" Your anchor. He wasn't asking where this guy might have parked his boat. He was asking, where did he place his deepest convictions? The thing that held him. What is an anchor? It's a very simple device. It's a crucial device. It keeps a boat in place. It keeps it where you want to be. It keeps it from drifting to where you don't want it to be, to keep it out of danger. So to ask someone, what is your anchor? Where do you place your anchor? Is to ask them, what holds you in the middle of a storm? It's a deep question, no pun intended. And it's relevant to anyone, no matter what you believe in or whether you identify with any kind of transcendent category, because every life needs something to hold it in place, to keep it from drifting toward danger, to keep it in a place of calm and of peace. So for the last 3 weeks, we've looked at the most common disturbances of the peace. A peace that God has meant for us and freely given to us in his Son, but which we easily lose sight of, just like a ship loses sight of the horizon in a storm. Fear, anger, shame. Without being anchored to something greater than those things, they each have a fierce wind that will often take you where you don't want to go. The gospel of the kingdom, established by God the Father, accomplished by God the Son, and applied by God the Spirit, that is your anchor if you're a Christian. God becomes flesh that we might become like God. He preaches peace. He establishes peace. He is our peace. But even as I say that, as important as that sounds, the point of the peace he gives and seeks to preserve in us is not mainly about us. Let me go back to a comment we mentioned the first Sunday of Advent, a line from a Russian Orthodox monk from about 2 centuries ago. His name was Seraphim. He said, "Attain the spirit of peace, and thousands of people around you will be saved." He speaks in that rhetorical flourish that is characteristic of the Eastern tradition, but from a certain point of view, he's not wrong. Those who are anchored to the gospel, they're not insulated from the sharp winds of fear or anger or shame. But those for whom the gospel is that anchor, they become a lifeboat, so to speak, for anyone that is beset by any of those disturbances of the peace. Who is well furnished to give courage to the failing heart around her? The one anchored to the belief that nothing that threatens you can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Who is most able to speak into a friend's anger and warn them that oftentimes that anger is just one move, one choice, and one letter away from danger? Why, the one who knows how God let judgment fall on him who didn't deserve it, and in turn let mercy fall on those who didn't deserve it also. And who best can hold out a hand to one in a deep pit of shame? The one most persuaded that we are, to borrow a line, far more than the worst thing we have ever done. Far more than the sum total of all the terrible things that we regret. And that's because of one who would not let the shame of dying on a cross. The cross was not just torture, was not just suffering. It was meant to be an experience of shame for the one on it. This one refused to let even the shame of dying in that way keep him from coming to our rescue. The deeper that that idea goes, the more steadfast can that peace become. And to the larger point I'm making, the more prepared to be of help to those who are unmoored by their own fear or anger or shame. This peace is for you. But again, it is not ultimately about you. If I can adjust my metaphor just a bit, not much. On what kind of water is the moon's reflection most clearly and brilliantly seen? Maybe you've been camping, maybe you've been hiking at night, you're walking around a lake, the moon is out, it's full moon. What kind of lake most perfectly reflects the true character and scene of the moon? An undisturbed, placid lake. I don't remember who imagined this analogy. I think it works. In whom is the love of God most clearly and brilliantly on display? The one whose heart is undisturbed. The heart at peace in the love of God is the heart most suited to reflect and radiate that love. Now, those thoughts are as high as the moon, so let me put it in a very relatable way. How many faces have you seen in the last week? This season sends us in a flurry of directions, throws us together in a passel of parties. How many of those faces in the checkout line, or at an office reception, or at an end of semester bash, had this wearied, harried look, or maybe gave off a vibe of having it so together that it probably really hid their true condition? Maybe that was you. Maybe that was me. How many of those faces could have used some face they know, some voice they trust, to tell them that there is in fact a point to all of this, that there is something more than all you see, that there is a love greater than everything you regret, and a reason for hope even in the wake of the worst news? It is the love of God that offers peace to a troubled heart. And if you're in a family, your family needs that. If you're in a workplace, Your workplace needs that. If you're in a school, your school needs that. Wherever you are, your little slice of the world needs that. It needs someone to be anchored to the love of God, that the peace of the heart that comes with it throws a lifeline to those who are flailing. And maybe like no other time in history, so many around you are flailing. So as we try to put a bow on this series, I hope you will feel a kind of privilege and maybe a new resolve to put the peace of the heart before everything, to face, not manage, your fear, to submit every anger to the test of what it's for, what it's worth, and to hold up every experience of shame against the shame that Jesus suffered to bind us to himself in love forever. Not only so that you might live with a more abiding sense of peace in his love, but more so that you would know the joy of your peace offering his hope to another. That's the point of this piece. That's why he came. Merry Christmas, y'all. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace.